everybody, and welcome to episode 8 of the Group Leader Podcast. Got a couple of things I want to tell you about before we get into the episode for today. The first is that GroupLink is coming up at the end of this month on August 31st. Okay, that's a Thursday night like usual. It's going to run from 6:30 to 8. And I need to know from you guys if you plan on coming with your group, if you need people in your group to be added to your group or whatever, we need to know that. We need to hear from you guys. So please let myself or Kathy know. You can reply to the email this podcast came in or send Kathy or I one separately. But please let us hear from you. Really, either way, even if you don't have room or you're not planning on being there, just let us know so that we can hear from everybody before we get to that event. The second date I want you guys to know about is group leader training, which is coming up on October 26th. Okay, that's another Thursday night. We'll do that from 6:30 to 8, just like at GroupLink. This is what we formerly have called Regroup, just renaming it to Group Leader Training, which is basically what it has always been. Some of the names I think were confusing for people between GroupLink and Regroup. So we're just going to keep it simple. We're going to call it Group Leader Training. And again, that's coming up on Thursday, October 26th. All right, let's jump into our episode for today. So I was on a run a while back, and I was listening to an album by a band I really like called Bastille. One of the reasons I like them is because their songs bring up these kind of really interesting spiritual questions that make you think about things. And as I was running, one of the questions in their songs just hit me like a ton of bricks. I was listening to the song called The Weight of Living, Part 2. Here are the lyrics that caught my attention. It said, "It all crept up on you. In the night it got you and plagued your mind. It plagues your mind. Every day that passes, faster than the last did, and you'll be old soon. You'll be old. Do you like the person you've become?" And it was that last part, that question, do you like the person you've become, that really got me. This is a loaded question, isn't it? I mean, it's so loaded that most of us don't even want to think about it. But it's an important question, because when we stop to think about it, many of us don't like the person we've become. We know we want to be better, or we want to be different, or happier, or more like Jesus, but a lot of times when we stop to think about it, we don't feel like we're getting anywhere with it. I mean, we have really good intentions to stop gossiping or losing our temper or judging people or to start doing more nice things for people close to us. We know we want to change, but we don't really know what to do, and so we just start trying stuff. Maybe we read some books, we do some Googling, and before we know it, we come up with these huge lists of things, right? Like these standards that we think we have to achieve, we have to live up to in order to be the person we want to be. But then we take stock of our lives next to those standards and we realize we fall pretty short. I mean, when you think of the person you want to be and the person you are right now, there might be a really big difference. And when we start to sense that difference, our tendency is to be really hard on ourselves. And that leads us to a place where we're shouldering the weight of living that way. We're shouldering this burden of not living up to those standards. And that's a dangerous place to be, because shouldering that weight will eventually suffocate you emotionally and spiritually and even physically. And I want to talk about how we move past living like that. How we move past living under the weight of our own standards of perfection. But first we need to talk about how we come to live under these different standards of that we put on ourselves or that others may put on us. And I want to say from here, even if you don't find that this is maybe particularly something you need to think about, though I doubt it, but even if you think that way, listen to this and listen to it closely, because chances are most of the people in your group are dealing with this in some way. And so understanding this framework that we're about to go through is a way that you can help serve those people in your group. All right, so whether you know it or not, you're trying to live up to some standard in life that you've either created for yourself or that has been created for you. Now, much of that has to do with your family or your cultural background. For instance, there are really only two main value structures in our culture today. There's really two main ways that we form our identity, and that's the traditional and the Western. Now, if you're in a traditional structure of identity formation, then you draw your sense of self-worth from the community or from your family, those people around you. And your sense of value comes from what you contribute to that community and what your place is in it. Now, this is more prevalent in other countries than ours, but many families here in the U.S. still have a strong sense of this. Now, if you're in a more predominantly Western structure of identity formation, then you draw your sense of self-worth from your individuality. So you're not concerned with the needs of the community as much as you are with your own needs. Okay, and your sense of self-worth is tied to what job you can get, what kind of life you can make for yourself, and what's best for you and your family. As you hear me say that, you're probably realizing this is obviously the more predominant structure of identity formation for most of us. But I should point out that neither of these is better or worse than the other. What I'm doing is simply giving you a picture of how these two structures work. But it's important to know because it helps us understand what standards we're trying to live up to and why we're trying to do that. And again, it also helps you to explain this to other people and help them see it as well. So for instance, you're a person in a Western setting here in America, and you might be trying to live up to several different standards. Okay, some of those standards have to do with other people's perceptions of you, but the root of those standards lies in what you think about your own performance, your relationships, or any number of things like that. And so the tendency today is to set up some standard for yourself. Maybe it's like a certain car or a possession, a particular relationship or status. And then you judge your value and your self-worth based on how well you think you're performing next to those standards. And that's just with ourselves. Then there are the standards that come from a society that tells us to look a certain way, behave a certain way, or even live a certain way. Now, these differ depending on your family and where you were raised, what kind of job you have, but they're still there either way. What we do then is sort through our own standards and those of others, and we kind of do the buffet thing. We pick the standards we think will most fulfill us, that we will like the best, or that will help us realize the best version of ourselves that we hope to achieve. And when you realize, when you kind of step back and you realize that our identities are really truly formed like this, you start to realize that you're not nearly as free as you think you are to come up with these things, right? When you sense that all these pressures from outside and inside yourself are influencing how you perceive your identity and your sense of value and worth, we're not as free as we think we are. And what this adds up to is that we're all bound to something, okay? We're all trying to live up to something. I mean, don't you feel that in your own life? I know I do in mine. Here's the real problem with all of this. If all of us are trying to live up to something, then sooner or later, the weight of living will be crushing. And there is a weight to life itself, isn't there? All of us carry some kind of standard around that we're trying to live up to, and each one of them is just another burden weighing us down. Many of the standards we've talked about aren't even necessarily bad things, but when we make them the source of our self-value and worth, then we will always be crushed beneath the weight of them. A guy that had been a struggling writer once wrote about this in the New York Times. He was reflecting on this maddening season in his life where he couldn't write anything that he felt was halfway decent, and he always had this sense of frustration about his life and his work. And what he said about this time was really interesting. He wrote, "When good writing was my only goal, I made the quality of my work the measure of my worth. And for this reason, I wasn't able to read my own writing well. I couldn't tell whether something I had just written was good or bad because I needed it to be good in order to feel sane." For anyone who's ever made their work or their image or their status everything, then you know exactly what he's talking about there. He made the quality of his work the measure of his worth. So if he wasn't a good writer, he wasn't a good person and he couldn't be happy. Okay, but of course that kind of thinking makes you so neurotic that you're never a good writer in your mind, so you can never be happy. What was really going on there is that the weight of living up to his own standards was crushing him. So the question for you is, what are you making the measure of your worth? Is it a relationship? How good of a parent you think you are? Your social status? Your reputation? Well, maybe you're not making something the measure of your worth. Maybe there's something else going on. Instead of making something the measure of your worth, maybe you're telling yourself lies about how to make yourself happy. A guy named Henrik Ibsen refers to these things as life lies. Those are these things we tell ourselves that if we can just get them, then we'll be happy. So if I can just get that car, just get that girl, just get that job, just get that next thing, then I'll be happy. But that sets up a huge problem. Ibsen went on to say that if you take the life lie away from the average man, you take away his happiness. And isn't that how it works? And we all told ourselves the iPhone 7 was going to change everything, but it didn't, just like it doesn't every year. But now most of us are looking forward to the iPhone 8 because maybe that one really will change everything. Or you tell yourself if you can just get that house on the lake, just get your boss to notice you, or just get your children into that school, then you'll be happy. And then even when we get some of these kinds of things, you've sensed this, right? That the feeling never lasts. I mean, it never stays around for very long. Something else always comes along, and then we just tell ourselves another lie. Here's why you need to know about this. Every one of our life lies can and will be taken away from us at some point. Because everything in this life is temporary. And when that happens, when our life lies are taken from us, we will be crushed under the weight of them. Okay, all of that self-worth, all the value that we assign to ourselves because of our life lies will disappear in an instant. Well, if all of us are under the weight of living like that, and we're going to eventually be crushed under it, then what hope is there? I mean, what can we do? And if we don't like the person we've become, what can we do about it? Well, I want you to see what Jesus says about this. And these are in some of his most familiar words, some of his most well-known words. Okay, it's from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus said these words, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, the first thing to understand here is the word yoke. Okay, because we don't really use that term anymore. A yoke was basically a harness that connected an animal, like a donkey or an ox, to a tool of some kind for gardening. Now, it might have been a till or a wagon or something like that. Regardless of what an animal was yoked to, it was a burden to that animal. I mean, it was something that weighed them down and that made their life harder. And people would yoke animals to these tools because it was something they couldn't do themselves. It was too heavy or too straining for them to do alone. And Jesus is using that imagery to talk about the burdens and the standards we're trying to live up to that we discussed earlier. He's saying, "I know you're tired of trying to live up. I know you're weary from the weight of living. Come to me, and I'll show you how to take a real rest." He's pointing out again that we are all burdened by something and that the weight of living is on us all because we're all yoked to something. What's really interesting here is what he didn't say. Jesus doesn't say that we don't have to have any burdens. Did you notice that? Jesus doesn't promise us here not to be yoked to anything. He promised to give us rest, relief from the weight of living, if we yoke ourselves to him instead. See, we're always going to be yoked to something, after all. So Jesus is telling us that if we yoke ourselves to him, that we can learn from him, and we can be with him. He tells us to yoke ourselves to him so we can see how to live our lives unburdened by the expectations and standards of ourselves and others, because those things aren't going away. What Jesus is really offering us is a way out of making all these standards our sense of self-worth and our sense of value. He's saying, if you don't like the person you've become, maybe it's because you've got yourself yoked to the wrong thing. Maybe you're trying to become the wrong person. Yoke yourself to me instead. Watch me, learn from me, and I'll show you how to find rest and how to be the person I created you to be. The longer I follow Jesus, the more I realize that he alone can bear the weight of living. He alone can give you a sense of meaning outside yourself, outside of others. He's the only place you can go to find an identity that'll last. The only place you can go to where the weight of living won't crush you. And that's because of the gospel. See, the gospel that tells us that God does have a standard. Okay, God has a standard. And that standard is absolute perfection, right? Across the board. That's a standard none of us can ever meet. But that's the beauty of Jesus. That's the beauty of God sending Jesus, because Jesus met every one of God's standards. He lived the perfect life we could never live and then died the death we should have died. And he did that willingly, even though none of us deserved it. And when Jesus died in our place, he made a way for us to meet God's standard of perfection. And that way is putting our faith in him, believing that his sacrifice on the cross was for you, and then coming under his lordship for your life, taking his yoke on yourself. And when we do that, we immediately meet God's perfect standard. We measure up. But pay attention to how it works. Jesus saved us on his own, and he made that salvation available to us by faith alone. And that means that nothing we can do will ever earn us salvation in God's eyes. No amount of good deeds or anything else like that. In Christianity, salvation isn't earned. It's accepted. And that is grace. That's grace, that God made a way for us to be saved when we didn't deserve to be. And when we make that truth, that reality, the sense of our identity and self-worth and value, then we're able to come out from under all of the burdens and the standards we're living with right now. Because the only standard that matters has already been met by Jesus. And finding your identity in him is the only way you'll ever be able to look back on your life at any point and be able to say you truly like the person you've become. All right, I'll talk to you soon. Take care.